You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes.
This is Jason Stoner, and we're on Best Practices Live. Guys, thanks for watching the Best Practice Show. We take a look at the best business practices from the best dental practices all over the world. And I have a huge treat for you today. One of my favorite people in dentistry. I know I say that, but this guy, you're going to love this guy. He's a super human being, super clinician, just super all the way around. Dr. Jason Stoner. We're going to be examining one of the hottest topics, controversial topics, called insurance, dental insurance. And so if you're a young dentist, you're going to want to watch this because this, what this guy has to say is crazy powerful. And the question often becomes, how many insurance plans should I sign up for beyond? And Dr. Jason Stoner is going to give his perspective. So do me a favor, grab a pen and hit the share button. You don't want to miss this. Now, a couple show notes. We're shooting this live on Facebook as we do with all these. And if you have a question, just add it to the feed and I'll ask Dr. Stoner while I have him on here so we can get the answers straight from the master himself. Or if you're watching it later on, like a lot of you are, I don't know what you guys are doing. Some of you guys are watching it super late at night. Go ahead and add the questions to the feed and we'll do our best to get you good answers because we want you to get the most out of this and walk away with a great perspective. Also, have your team members watch this. If some of your team members are kind of, you know, struggling with what, how do we do this? This is going to be great for their perspective on the whole dental insurance thing. You don't want to miss this. Now, keep sending us suggestions for shows. We're lining up a ton of them. And right now, with all the suggestions, everything, thank you for the shares, all that. We're up over 39,000 followers on Facebook. Over 150,000 of you have visited us on iTunes. And again, I only have one thing to say, thank you. So just having fun. So my guest today, Dr. Jason Stoner. Now, Jason, you and I have known each other for a couple of years. Now, I'll share a little bit of a story. Because we met at something called the Seattle Study Club Symposium, which is hands down, without question, the single greatest CE experience you'll ever have in dentistry. And if you haven't been, you got to go. And you also have your own Seattle Study Club in Columbus, Ohio. So, and if you haven't been a part of one, you got to be a part of one. But we were together. Actually, I was telling the story before we got on. I want to tell you how classy this guy is. This guy is so much class and he's so good at what he's doing. So my wife and I were eating at this fancy restaurant. And I don't even know, you know, I've been traveling or whatever. We come in, we eat, and this waitress comes over and she goes, sir, and she, you know, or, you know, this whole team, they hand me a fine bottle of champagne. And I go, who's that from? And they go, from Dr. Stoner. I'm like, where is he? Like, he's just a classy guy all the way around. I don't even drink champagne, but it just gives you a little token of how he cares for the world and the people around him. And now, Jason, I know who you are. Some of the people watching you, we've had you on the show one time before, but if somebody's watching this and they've never met Dr. Jason Stoner, tell us who you are and give us a little bit of your story. Okay. My name's, first of all, thanks for having me on.
My pleasure, buddy.
This is such an important forum for especially young dentists, but all of us, because it creates passion and it creates drive for what we do. And so I'm very appreciative of that.
I went to Ohio State for everything, undergrad, dental school, residency, and I'm a periodontist, and for graduate school. I finished in 2000. Then I went, I said, you know what? I've been in Columbus and I've done everything 30 times. So I'm getting out of the city. So I went down to Charlotte and joined a practice for a year and got a great experience and had a lot of fun with the person I worked with and learned a lot of things. I learned a ton of things about running a business, which I'm very grateful for that experience, because it really helped me when I moved on and opened my own practice. I moved back to Columbus, Ohio. And in the meantime, while I was gone, they put in all these exciting things. They put in an NHL team and all this. And I said, okay, I can come back. There's new stuff to do. So I did. I opened a practice. I came back actually on 9/11. I left Charlotte. Wow. The day of 9/11. I left Charlotte and came back to Columbus. In June of the next year, I started my practice. I opened it from scratch, and I was fortunate in that time between when I came back from Charlotte to coming to Columbus to really meet lots of people and develop and do a lot of thinking and developing what do I want and how do I get that. And so when I got to Columbus, opened the practice, and I started doing some things that I thought would create my future and create my environment that I wanted to practice in. And I met phenomenal, fantastic practitioners along the way that that have helped me grow, helped me learn, and we've grown into a five practice, five locations, and we're fee for service. Always been fee for service, and we've done a lot with study clubs and with education to help. To help all of us grow together, communicate better, and be better practitioners. And I hope that I've made a lot of differences in the dentists' lives that I've worked with and who are part of the study clubs that we have, mainly the Seattle Study Club, which I think I have. We've set the bar in Columbus, and I feel very fortunate for that. And so, and people have come along the way and helped mold me and helped me, you know, point at me saying you can do better. And I do my best for them and for the patients. And so it's molded my philosophy into what it is today. So,
yeah. And there's no question, Jason, you've created an incredible impact in people's lives. I've been to your study club, been to your town, and those people that are around you, it's amazing how you're always bringing people up with you, which is very, very cool. You don't look at this as competition at all. If anything, you're trying to bring everybody with you on your journey, you know?
Well, it's a team, man. And you're only as good as the next player next to you. And, yeah. So we all make each other better. My experience with the people in our study club is they've driven me to do better, and they've helped me set a bar for myself. So I'm very grateful to all of them for what they've done.
So. Yeah, I don't know how anybody could do it without a study club like Seattle Study Club or something like that. I mean, it's just so important. So let's talk about the importance of this topic, because you and I were discussing this before we went live, like the insurance question. You have so many dentists that you're colleagues with, you work together, and these young dentists come to you and say this question, like, how many insurance plans should I be on? Let's talk about why this question is so important first before we get into the answer to the question.
Okay, great. So this is an important question because it's really making its way into dentistry much faster than any of us, I think, really predicted. Dentistry, when I first came out, had done a very good job of being very cohesive and maintaining the standards of what we learned in school and what our practice philosophy should be and how we should treat our patients. And but certain pressures along the way, like higher costs to go to school, longer times that we're in school, all the living expenses, you're coming out with a lot of debt. And those pressures have driven us to embrace more short-term opportunities to let our practices grow. But I feel that it really, in the long term, hurts us. Mm-hmm. And it hurts us from the standpoint that we have to start, we stop making the decisions at some point, and it becomes a company that makes the decisions and not what we went to school for. And yeah. The second thing, which is more important, which I think is more evident than ever, is passion. And we've lost a lot of passion in dentistry, particularly in insurance-based practices, because I think, you know, we went into dentistry because we love to help people. And dentists are genuinely great people, and they want to make people's lives better. And if you have someone come in who needs a bunch of work, and they're an 18-year-old person who's congenitally missing a bunch of teeth, and you want to give them implants and give them a better quality of life. I just had a patient from Brazil that came in today with that exact thing. And she's 18 and she's congenitally missing 12 teeth. And the problem is that insurance won't pay for any of it. And we get locked into providing treatments over time that require us to do what the insurance company says they'll pay for. And that's not what we were trained to do in school. And over time, not being able to give patients what's possible, it wears you down, and it wears down your passion, and you start to feel like you don't have control anymore. And you really aren't going to have the opportunity to help people the way you thought you were, and you lose that passion of why we went to school and how we can help people, and it's very frustrating. And so to me, that's a huge topic. That's why I think this is important to talk about today.
Yeah, so. And it's even more important too, Jason, as you say that too. If you're a young dentist watching this, there's a good chance that you're going to practice a lot longer than the people that have come before you, because, you know, with everything happening now, people are going to be living, 1 in 3 babies that's born today will actually live to be 100. So there's a good chance some of these dentists are going to be practicing. When you lose your passion in the first couple of years, you got to think about this. You got a lot of debt. I couldn't even fathom having another 35 years in front of me of work where you're not excited about the road ahead. And psychologically, physiologically, it has something to do with this. And you have young dentists that come to you, and I want you to answer the question. So if I was a young dentist and I come to you, I go, Jason, I just moved to town. I want to be part of your Seattle Study Club, but I have a lot of debt. Like, how many insurances should I be on? What would you say to them?
I would say this. Zero.
Now tell me why you would say that, but you don't understand. I've got kids. I've got debt. I'm sure you hear that one too, right?
You know, what it comes down to is what kind of practice you want to have. What kind of life do you want to have? And it's a little different in this day and age now than it was when I came out. And my passion is what I do. So it takes the vast majority of my time, and still does. Some people come out and they want to work a certain number of hours, and they want to do other, they want to chase other passions that they have in life, and that's great too. So it works for some people who where their passion lies outside of dentistry, it works to be on insurance plans. So to those people, I'd say go for it, because it really, you know, it gives you the opportunity to chase what you love to do and your quality of life. And I feel, for me, I get a great quality of life out of being able to do what I'm most passionate about every day, and that's dentistry. So I think, but as I mentioned before, the trap that you fall into with insurance is that once you start it, getting out of it is a very difficult process. The shackles go on, and your importance and your knowledge of what you were trained to do, and the ability, more importantly, the ability to incorporate that in treating patients, diminishes every day. And so when I started out, I started a practice from scratch. I had no referrals and no patients. I'm in a high dollar area, and I built a house, and I got married, and I had a baby all in a year and a half. So I took on a lot of responsibility, but that's the way I run my life. So I understand the pressures that come with financial obligations. And the first year, every dollar you make goes back into the practice. But looking at the long-term goals and writing your goals down and staying focused on what those goals are throughout your career, I still do it today. Staying on the big picture is what's going to be the best, what's worked out the best for me. And so that's been without insurance, because I'll tell you a story. When I was in my fourth year at dental school, I had an instructor come up to me who was a PROS instructor, and I told him we're going to do this certain treatment plan. And it was basically to do a couple fillings that a gentleman had. And he had, he was missing a bunch of teeth, and he had loose teeth, and he had bleeding gums, and he had all these things. And so the instructor pulled me aside by my ear, basically, and said, which I'm glad he did.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. But he pulled me aside and he said, look, what are you going to do to change this guy's life? Two fillings isn't going to do it. And he has way more going on than what's going on now. And then two fillings. And I said, you know what? You're right. I said, I didn't even look at this. I'm looking at this with tunnel vision. I'm not looking at it from the standpoint that, you know, how can I make this guy's life better? I'm looking at it from the standpoint of he has two fillings here. He has decay in two teeth that I need to fix,
right?
That he'd lose in the long term if we didn't look at it from a bigger picture. From that day forward, I said, I'm going to commit myself to being a comprehensive dentist and someone who looks at everything possibility to make someone's life better. Not every patient in my office is a comprehensive patient. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean they need comprehensive therapy, but I'm looking at every single thing in their mouth and in their situation so that I can make their lives better. An 18-year-old kid doesn't need much. They might need a single graft, but I'm still looking everywhere to see if there's bone loss or if they're missing teeth or what the chances are that he or she will lose their teeth. And so so that's the way I've always approached it. And it's because of that experience in dental school. I was embarrassed that I didn't take a better opportunity to help that gentleman. And that instructor really helped me. So from then on, that's what I dedicated myself to. That's why I run a Seattle Study Club as a director, because I learn more by that.
Yeah.
You know, and so another dentist one time. I learned just as much from my dentists that I work with and specialists as they hopefully learn from the speakers we bring in. And we always learn that when you do a root canal and a tooth through a crown, you replace the crown in dental school so that you seal the tooth. And I and a dentist that I work with pretty regularly told me in front of our whole study club, you know, that's not the way it's done. That's ridiculous. And so I learned too. And and so it makes us all better. But you know, it's something that that over time, that comprehensive approach has allowed me to say, okay, I'm practicing what I learned in school to make people's lives better. And that's what's made me successful, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And we always say there's, you know, I think as a dentist, you got to decide, do you want to change lives or do you want to fix teeth? And it's just like you said, they're not bad or good. It's just that when you pick to choose to change people's lives, it's a different business. It's not the same thing as fixing teeth. And I think strongly, like what you've decided to do, once you decide why you're going to do something, the how just gets easy. You're going to find a way. When you build a house, have kids, and you're like, I want to do it this way, you'll find a way to do it. And so it's so
you have to create it.
You do.
You have to create it. You have to say, this is what I want to do.
Right.
And you go in that direction.
And you write your own book. Somebody does write your book. Yeah. You
your future and people that have the same ideas as you or the same interests as you are going to come along and you do it together. And that's what's so fantastic about all the people I work with. So I always look for opportunities to incorporate all the specialties in every treatment plan, just so we may not need it. But the point is that you get the opportunity to give comprehensive treatment and care to a patient.
Right. Let's go into the details of what you experience every day, because you're a periodontist. You have 5 practices, all fee-for-service, and you're working with GP dentists that are growing in this whole process. Like, let's go into this question. You know, Jason, I totally get it, but I've got a patient, and what if this implant isn't covered by insurance? Like, do you get questions like that?
Of course. Absolutely.
Like, how often? Like, almost every day, probably.
Right. Absolutely. And so I guess that's kind of an example of what I'm talking about. And, you know, it's very important that you set your standard and you set your philosophy on dentistry, and you're not going to be able to treat every patient because different patients look for different things. Mm-hmm. And that's my experience. But the fact is that I'm not going to do a bridge on an 18-year-old kid that's missing tooth number 8 when that needs to be replaced every 10 years. And it's going to cost them way more money in the long term and way more time in the dental chair. And they have to be careful of what they eat because they went that route, when I can give them an implant. And if I can't, and so I'm not afraid to go beyond the insurance and say, look, this is the value of what you're doing. And we understand that there's cost, but the value outweighs the cost, and this is how it outweighs the cost.
Yeah.
And so some people see it. Most people do. Once you lay it out and speak to them and present it to them, they find a way. It might be a year or two later, but they find a way and they come back in. And those are the most rewarding.
Yeah.
Because they found a way to do it, and you changed what their philosophy was. They were going to just go in and get a bridge, and you are able to give them much better treatment. And over time, that is the philosophy. That philosophy is what people who have that same philosophy or desire, they'll come into your group.
Right.
You guys will help each other, and you grow, and you get a great reputation from treating people the way they should be treated.
Right. Now, let me ask you a question. Our good friend Deepak, who watches the show, he had such great questions. And so he just typed this one in, and I'm going to give it to you if that's okay. He said, public perception is another aspect in this discussion. Once I heard someone say, you know, it's a good thing we have insurance companies to keep dentists honest, because insurance, in his opinion, only pays a certain amount, and that keeps dentists from overcharging. That comment reveals an underlying and erroneous sentiment in a large part of the population. What has to happen and by who to change public perception? Do you have a thought on that? Like, I'm just curious, you know, do you have a thought as far as public perception goes, and how do we change that?
Right. I mean, that's a multi-level answer and approach, really. I mean, obviously there's the national groups.
Right.
There are the state groups, there are the regional groups, there are the local dental societies, and then there's you. Right. And I appreciate that question, Deepak. You know, we have to say, okay, look, this is going to be the standard of care. And we can't be afraid to set that standard of care and say, we're not falling below this. And until, as a group, and you do that through study clubs, and you do that through regional meetings and participating in your national organizations, and until nothing will change until that happens. And so the way we have to look at making the patient's experience better is be very good at communication, be very good at building value into what you're doing, and building value for what you want to do with the people you work with, and spread it out. I mean, look for opportunities to work for all the resources we have in dentistry around you.
Right.
And by doing that, when patients can hear the message from the standpoint that, look, this is the best care you can possibly get, they listen. And you've got 33% of the population that's going to say, look, it's all about cost. You're not going to convince those people about the value of what you offer. Mm-hmm. I would say that cost, whether it's too expensive or not, is dependent on how valuable you think your treatment is.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, if you charge more than everyone else in your area, then the treatment needs to be better.
Right.
But if it's better and it's a better long-term treatment, then I don't think you should worry about what your costs are.
Right.
And I think that your costs should be what the value of your treatment is.
Right.
And when you're treating patients to a very high level, you have to incorporate technology in what you do. And technology costs money.
Mm-hmm.
CT scanners, lasers, intraoral scanners, digital dentistry, printers, all these things cost a lot of money. So if you believe in what you do and the value in what you do, then the cost isn't the issue. It's the building of that value in your cost.
Right. Now go back to, you said a couple things. Like when you talk about building value, you talked about the communication aspect of things in your group. Now let's just talk about what you deal with every single day. When you have dentists that are referring, you talk about the importance of meeting with the referring specialist. Now it doesn't have to be you, but there's a significance about that meeting, because if it isn't done right, then it's backwards, right? Now explain what that means. Like, what is it? Where does it go backwards if you don't meet with your specialist?
Okay, so one of the goals we strive for, and I think it's a big movement, which I love to see. It's a big movement in our society now, in our dental community, and that is towards being better at treatment planning. You have Seattle Study Club, you have Spear Study Club, you have all these opportunities where you can really fine tune and hone your ability to treatment plan comprehensively. Okay. And so, that's what we try and do in our study club, because I want my treatment to fit into the restorative treatment plan. I don't want the patient to come and see me and I'm saying this is the treatment plan, because then it becomes a surgically driven treatment plan and not a restoratively driven treatment plan. Mm-hmm. And so I really see the dentist, I want to my treatment to fit into what their long-term goals are for their patients, short and long-term. And so communication to me is not the specialist sending a letter to the dentist only and saying, this is what our plan is. It's the dentist sitting down with the specialist and saying, these are my goals. These are the treatment. This is the treatment I have planned to do for this patient. And where does your treatment fit into this? And how can we do this in a way that it makes the most sense for the patient financially and from the perspective of a great value to the patient? And so time and finances, really, when you're able to sit down with your team and get together and phase it out like that, it makes the most sense for everybody. When I sit down with a patient, I say, we're going to California. We do not want to go through Canada and Mexico from Ohio to get to California. So let's have the goal be California. And how are we going to get there? We need to talk to your orthodontist. I need to talk to your general dentist. I need to talk to the endodontist, whoever's involved. And we have to make a plan so that we're going in a straight line for you. And you can walk to California, you can drive to California, you can fly to California, however you want to do it. So if you want to walk, we'll do a little bit at a time until we get there. And if you want to drive, then we'll do a little more. If you want to fly, we'll do it all at once and get you there. It's up to the patient. But the point is, we're always going towards one direction. And so I think that, that is so critical that we don't take the time to do as much anymore. And I don't always know all the goals. I've worked with the dentists and specialists I work with. I've worked with them for 16 years now, and I don't always know all their goals. I know them very well and they don't know mine. And so that's why it's so critical to share that.
Yeah. Simple. And let me ask you this question too, because when we talk about how many insurance plans we should be on, one of the true keys to this is patient perception and the value in this. And you're a big fan that you have to truly communicate between, you know, doctors and specialists, because patients have a perception. They know when two doctors don't know each other and aren't communicating, correct? And then also describe, you mentioned this before we got started, there's a difference between multidisciplinary and true interdisciplinary care. Can you just give me your definition and answer to both of those?
Yeah. So let's go with the interdisciplinary first. The multidisciplinary treatment is where you have different practitioners doing their treatment out of coordination. And so, and I'm including physicians in this as well, physical therapists, everything, depending on what you use in your practice. And so no one's coordinated in what they're doing, and everyone's trying to get their treatment plan done, but no one knows what the overall long-term goal is. And the patient ends up spending a lot more time, money, and effort getting this treatment finally done. So sometimes we do something interdisciplinary treatment, just to identify that, is where we're taking information from each field and we're sitting down and we're saying, these are our goals. Mm-hmm. How does your endodontics fit into this treatment? Well, we don't need any endodontics. So we don't need any. So we're done with that part. What about orthodontics? What about periodontics? What about oral surgery? What about the general dentistry? All those things. And sitting down at a table and making a phase treatment plan that incorporates everything in the plan into the patient's care. And sometimes, and I got this idea from Tom Trinkner a long time ago, you know, who's a great practitioner in South Carolina, you know, he did something called a town hall meeting. And that's where a new patient to the area comes and sees me, let's say, and they don't have a dentist. They don't have any other specialists, but they have some pretty, it's a pretty involved case. Well, we'll bring the patient back and I'll have an endodontist there and an orthodontist and an oral surgeon and a general dentist. And we'll start talking about what we see with the patient's care right in front of the patient. And it's very valuable because that's true interdisciplinary treatment. I'm saying, hey, what can you do orthodontically to make this bite better? Well, I can do these things. And if we don't need the periodontist, okay, I'm out. You don't need me. So let the conversation continue. And the general dentist at the end brings it all together and says, okay, well, this is going to be the overall goal. Let's sit down, make the plan, and then present everything to the patient in phases. That's a town hall meeting. That's true interdisciplinary treatment. And it's very, very powerful for patients to see that. It's not feasible to do it on every patient, but you can do it without doing it in front of the patient. And that's called going to dinner or breakfast or lunch and talking about what's necessary.
Yeah, I love that. Trickner's a genius, and I love that whole concept. Yeah. And you guys, if you're watching this, you see how much Jason is actually committed to his patients. Now, I got to ask you this question, too, because this one comes up for me, and I'm going to dish it to you, because when a dentist comes, you say, how many insurance plans I should be on? And I also have team members. Like, how do I explain it? Now, you, again, I'm going to reiterate, you have five practices, fee-for-service. Like, I'm sure you lived nine lives creating a team that can support this philosophy, too. Any insight or wisdom you would give us in that respect, with the team?
Yes. One of the most powerful opportunities to have is a team that is all focused on one goal. And they're highly trained and they can help build value. It can't be one person in the office building value. And so my team is better than I am at it. And, but that's because they know these things. They know their jobs very, very well. And the way they know their jobs is because of a commitment to consultants that we've made. And we've, you know, you've played a big role in our practice and a great role in our morale and, you know, what our goals are as practitioners. And so, the importance of consultants cannot be overstated, because they get the team fine-tuned and honed in with processes and systems that make everyone's life easier and make the experience for the patient better. And so, so it's critical that your team knows how to talk about how dental insurance works. It's not medical insurance. Nick Deter, a friend of mine from Florida, said it right when he said dental insurance is a coupon. You know, they give you 10% off of your treatment or 20%. And that's the way it should be looked at. And that's the way we should be conveying it to our patients, because they think it's like medical insurance and they don't know. And so a national effort needs to be made to help patients understand the way dental insurance works. But anyway, having a team built by the best consultants that can operate independently of what you're doing, so you can focus on what you need to focus on, which is treatment planning and treatment. That's a critical part to making all this happen. There's no way you can have the success if you don't have that. And so I'm very fortunate to have that. Never be broken about that.
Oh yeah, I'm a consultant, and I have we have our own consultant because it's too hard. You know how it is as a dentist. You have to work, and so you don't have the luxury of being a CEO and said, "Hey, look, I'm just going to carve out time on Wednesday and work on the business." Yeah. No, you're doing surgeries. You're meeting with patients. You're meeting with specialists, and so having somebody that's been there before and charting the course for you and talking to your team in a way that you possibly couldn't talk to them is so true. You know, we talked about. Yeah, Howard Fran's been on the show, and he says this: look, if you want to get skinny, hire a coach. If you want to improve your business, hire a consultant. It's that simple. You know what I mean? Because they'll make you do things you would never do, which I totally agree. So
they teach you about the three most important things in a practice. There are three things that are critical to success. One is time management. Mm-hmm. Time management is something that is a critical part. It is one of the most important things to making your staff want to work with you. Because if a schedule is all over the place and it's chaotic every day, they're going to be like, I'm out of here. This is too much stress and work. The second thing is communication and how to communicate, not only to the people you have to communicate with, your referring dentists, your patients, but also as a team with each other. It's a lot more complicated than we give it credit for. The third thing is case acceptance. And to learn case acceptance and strategies for building value, if you don't have a consultant, you're never gonna figure it out. Mm-hmm. And no matter how good you are, we're smart people that went to school, but a consultant can save you years of trying to figure out and train how to build value in something. So in all those things. So I think it's critical.
But. Yeah, absolutely. Now, I always ask people this, you know, when it comes to insurance, Jason, anyone's best guess is the future, what the future is going to look like. But you're doing so well, and you've got so many great clinicians around you that are also doing so well. And again, I can attest to that because those guys, just an incredible community that you guys have there. But what's the future look like for some dentists? And what's the future of insurance look like from your guess?
Well, the future for some dentists is, and nothing's right or wrong here. Like I said, some dentists have passions outside of dentistry, and I think that's awesome. And those dentists would probably do very well being on insurance plans because they can have a schedule that has treatment that doesn't maybe necessarily require extended time into their free time that they'd want to spend chasing other passions. I still hope that the passion out there for dentistry is there such that dentists want to realize that their number one reason for going into dental school is to treat patients, and there's no one better than them to tell a patient what's in that patient's best interest from a dental health perspective. Our job is to say, this is what I see, and these are some ways I can fix it for you. Yeah. And no one is better to do that job. No one's better trained than a dentist. And we have to be willing to stand up for what we believe in. And I think that you're seeing basically two different levels of care. I think that's the future. One care which is cost based, and one set of practitioners that is value based. And fortunately, we have patients that are in each category, mm-hmm. and that's why the whole issue of cost that came up. You know, patients. There are a lot of patients out there that want the best treatment and not necessarily are as concerned about it, about the cost. So everyone's concerned about cost, but they don't make their decisions on cost first. They make their decisions on health first. Mm-hmm. And those are patients seeking value in what they get and not just cost. So I think we're seeing the future being one that is value-based, which is more comprehensive treatment, and one that is more cost-based, which is more of an insurance platform. And fortunately, we have dentists that fill both categories. And so you just have to decide what you want to do. I wanted the freedom to be able to say, if it were my mouth, that's what I would do for you. But yeah, here are a couple other options. And fortunately, I have that. And it's not too late to keep that going.
Absolutely. I totally, totally agree with you, buddy. And I was talking to a couple of young dentists today, and you know, as you listen to them, they sound isolated. Now, you and I both own our own businesses. You know how that is. Sometimes you feel isolated. How important is it to be a part of a study club? Like this whole thing of having a study club, you know, when you started it, like you've got an incredible study club. What would you say to a kid who's like, I don't know if I want to be involved with a study club. Why do I need a study club? What would you say?
Well, I'll tell you a short answer and then a longer one. But one of the best meetings I ever had, besides you coming, I mean that we still talk about it, but the energy bus and everything. One of the best meetings we ever had was I took, and this was my friend Mark Setter and I kind of put this together, and he presented it first at his study club, and he told me how well it went. I put together 39 things that we see every day, from a little chip in an incisor to an endo that was done through a crown, to a fracture in a tooth, to a large filling. And I put up each case, and we just surveyed all the dentists in the room and said, who's putting a crown on this tooth with this big a filling? And 20% maybe raised their hand and said, I'm doing it. And then we put a picture with a little bigger filling in the tooth. Who's putting a crown on this? And then you get 30% who put that. And then the next one, who's putting a crown on this? And so that was an extremely powerful meeting. And to this day, dentists still come to me, my friends, and say, you know, that was really great because it did two things. It helped me learn how other people are treating the same things I see every single day. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is it helped confirm that what I'm doing with my patients is the right thing to do. It's what everyone else is doing as well. And so that's the power of a study club. It gives you a partner without necessarily having a partner. And if you isolate yourself, then the only way you hear things is through people selling things to you or going to CE courses. And it's great to have a group of friends where they can call up and say, hey, look, this is what kind of impression material are you using? Because my stuff's not working that well or whatever. And that's what we've developed, these relationships in the club. I mean, we have guys sending pictures to each other saying, we had Marges come in. Bob Marges, one of my favorite people too. He came in a few weeks ago or a few months ago. And he said he did a how to do a quick composite on a fracture tooth. And the next week, three guys, they had those very cases come in their office. They shared the pictures with everyone in the study club. They sent the pictures to Marges. I mean, that's what gives you great feeling about what you're doing.
Isn't that fun?
It's fun. It's so much fun. It brings that passion back. So I worry about the people who don't do CE or do the bare minimum or go to meetings just for CE, or they get on every insurance plan, because those people, I see their passion dwindle over time. I've been in practice 16 years. I've seen it. Mm-hmm. And those are people that can't practice the way they want to practice or believe in what they're doing. And they lose that passion, and dentistry becomes something different. I just think it's a shame. Yeah. So not everyone's like that, but I hate to see it. So
yeah. And for the benefit of people, we just had a bunch of people just jump on watching now. Let me ask the question again. How many insurance plans should I be on, Jason?
You know, I think it depends what your goal is, but for me, the answer is zero. Because for me, insurance is a coupon.
Yeah.
And all it does is help defray some costs for the patient, but it should never be the determining factor in the treatment you perform.
Yeah.
And if you don't believe in it, in that treatment. So yeah,
absolutely. Buddy, that is just awesome. Dude, you're one of the heroes I have, and many heroes that we have in this great profession of ours. And so, Jason, I know people are going to be watching this. They're going to want to learn more about you. And you're a very giving person, just like all of your colleagues. So if people want to find you, keep in mind, people are listening to this on iTunes. How can I find more about Jason Stoner?
You know, definitely visit our website at stonerperio.com, P-E-R-I-O.com. Call us 614-889-8222. Or go to some local study clubs, and you have so many. We all have so many resources in the people around us, even if they're in your same specialty or same area. And you'll develop friendships, and you'll develop opportunities to learn more and feel better about what you do. So go to those study clubs and really get involved with them. And don't be afraid. Do not be afraid to practice the way you think is the best for the patient.
Amen, brother. Amen. Or they could join you and I at the symposium. Margis will be there. So, you know, come visit. Right. Seattle Study Club Symposium.
Best ever.
Yeah.
Once you go, you'll always go.
You'll always go. So this year it'll be in Florida in January, Seattle Study Club. Check it out. We will be there. Margis will be there. We'll all be there. So come join us. So Jason, I am so crazy grateful for all the time I get to spend with you. Stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. Thank you guys for watching. If you enjoyed today, which I hope you did, just do us a favor, hit the share button, share with your colleagues, and protect this great profession we call dentistry. Keep sending us suggestions for shows you want to see, even with Jason. I'm going to have Jason back, talk about some clinical stuff and other stuff that he's passionate about. And until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. Thanks, Jason.
Thank you very much.